God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson. Here, we call it The Encouraging Word. The Encouraging Word. Get ready to open your Bibles to the book of Daniel as we study the Word together. And know we're here for you, 866-899-WORD or 866-899-9673. Will connect us always, or tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Now, I'm going to make rather a redundant statement in this pulpit, but I'm going to say to you tonight, folks, that you are really going to need your Bibles tonight. Please take a copy of God's Word. I'm going to ask you to just keep it open with me tonight. We're going to be looking at some incredible passages of Scripture. We're going to start, of course, with Daniel chapter 1. And that is the basis of our text, and I'm not going to even be reading chapter 1. I've done that a number of times, but we're not going to be reading it tonight, excepting the first verse. The Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, tonight I want to take a journey with you, and I have entitled our message, His Story. The greatest lesson we learn from history is that we never learn any lessons from history. And if we apply that in a spiritual sense, I think that we are very sadly the losers. Because history is really His story. History is the march of God's plan through the ages. It is the unfolding of God's drama of events. It is man marching according to God's timetable. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And God has a provision born out of and in response to His plan and to His purpose. There are five major things that we need to understand in order to understand prophecy. Number one, we must understand covenant. Now, covenant is basically an agreement. And in this instance, if we're going to understand the book of Daniel, we must understand the agreement or the covenant between God and man. God has made a covenant with mankind. It's God's agreement. And God made this agreement or this covenant going way back into the book of Genesis. Number two, we must understand the nature and the extent of sin. Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we must understand the significance of sin, the origin of sin. We must understand the consequences of sin. Number three, we must understand this question of judgment. Now, most of us struggle with the issue of judgment, and there's a reason for this. It's basically a human reason. How can God, who is so loving, so wonderful, want to judge us? Why would He want to do that? Why would God even do something like have a place called hell? How could a God who loves us so much ever send us to a place where the Bible says there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, and where there will be torment and suffering day and night forever and forever? We've got to understand judgment, because the book of Daniel is about judgment. If we don't understand covenant and sin and judgment, I will promise you we're going to have difficulty understanding what's about to happen in Daniel, and we will certainly have difficulty in understanding the rest of the Bible, and particularly the book of Revelation. But number four, we must understand comfort. Now, this is a seeming apparent contradiction. God punishes and then God comforts. That's exactly what God does. Now, the word comfort there means that God, by His grace, takes us, men and women and boys and girls, in the context of our sinfulness, and He embraces us despite ourselves. And He comforts us. He soothes us and He offers to us His protection, His remedy for whole living again. He helps us to stand up despite our sin. He gives us hope. And then finally, we must understand the meaning and significance of reward. So there you have the five things. You have covenant and sin and judgment and comfort and reward. God is not only going to comfort those that have been judged because of their sin, but because of the covenant He has made with mankind, which is our covenant today, God will reward all those who love Him. That's the final point. That completes the picture of prophecy. It begins with covenant and it ends with reward, with fulfillment. I want us to take a little journey and I want us to think about His story. What we're going to do tonight, and I want you to listen to this, we're going to go back in time into the book of Genesis. And folks, I'm going to take you for the quickest walk through the Old Testament up to the time of Daniel that perhaps you've ever taken tonight. And I beg your pardon if perhaps maybe I might leave some of you behind or if I do not do justice to any particular point in time. But this is very important to place Daniel in its right context. Let's take a journey toward Daniel. How did we get to Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1? Well, we need to go back to the origin of sin. The origin of sin. And the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve, created in the image of God, sinned against God, and they became separated from God. And you will remember how that the Word of God teaches us that because of their sin, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. They ruptured the fellowship that they had between God and themselves. Sin came into the world. In Adam, all people die, but in Christ Jesus, all people are made alive. Unfortunately, sin has consequences. There are many consequences of sin, but let me give to you three of them. Number one, death. Why are we going to die? Death is a consequence of sin. It is the ultimate consequence of sin. Number two, the scattering of people. Have you ever wondered why there are so many different people in the world? That's because of sin. You can go and read about it in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, the Tower of Babel. I'm not going to read that passage for you tonight, but that is something that you might want to go back and remind yourself about. God scattered people because people were sinning against God, and He gave them different tongues and different origins, and He divided the human race across the world. But there was a third consequence of sin, and that is that continents were divided. Continents were divided. Now go back with me into the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 10, and I want to just show you something very interesting in Genesis chapter 10. Now folks, I'm going to keep on going back and showing you some little tidbits of interest, some things that are fascinating, and I trust that you will find them interesting. I'm going to show you tonight in Scripture that when man sinned originally, that almost immediately Babylon became the capital of everything that was evil and anti-God. Now look with me at Genesis chapter 10 and verse 8. Bible's going to tell us right there. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. Now, folks, I'm not going to go back and track all of this to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We're not going to go back into all that history right now, which we should do in order to get to this point. I'm leapfrogging. But we do know that Cush was the father of Nimrod, who grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. And the first centers of his kingdom were Babylon. Man sinned, and God raised up not only a people that were the antithesis of the holiness of God, but the focus of the displeasure of God became centered in Babylon. Now I want us to just leapfrog to Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1 that Nebuchadnezzar, who was king of Babylon, came up against the children of Israel in Judah. We're going to find this repeated. Why? Because God has got a plan. We are marching according to God's drumbeat. Do you remember the Antichrist in the book of Revelation? Anyone like to tell me where the Antichrist is going to set up his capital? Babylon. That's why I believe the book from Genesis to Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation. Every word which God has written, God has connected everything together. You've got death. Look at chapter 10 and verse 25. Few of us know that the division of the continents came about because of sin. Two sons were born to Eber. One's name was Peleg, because in his time, the earth was what? It was divided. So where did all the continents come from? Why are there continents upon the earth today? Why is there land and sea and divisions and people scattered all over the world? Why? Because of sin. And in Genesis chapter 12, we begin to read about the Abrahamic covenant. And there are several things that arise out of the covenant with Abraham. You must remember that in chapter 12, God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Folks, listen to me. There is something very significant about the nation and the children of Israel, but there is something even more significant about all people who have come into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. How am I supposed to know that I'm included in the Abrahamic covenant? How do you know that? You're a Protestant. How are we included in the Abrahamic covenant? Turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I want to show you something very, very remarkable here. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible says, well, let's go back to verse 6, okay? Go back to verse 6. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then, here it is, that those who believe are what? You got it there? Those who do what? Those who believe. The word there, believe, means pistuo. It means to place your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it means. By the way, that belief there is the same word that you find in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. It is a qualified statement there. Well, the Abrahamic covenant, where God says, I will bless those that bless you and I will curse those that curse you, is an Abrahamic covenant that has been passed on through the Jewish people by Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who is of the lineage of Abraham and of David, and now to all those who believe on him. That's why the Apostle Paul was able to say, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female. There is neither bond nor free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? We're one. All those barriers are gone. Kaput, down, finished, over, 6 foot under. They're out of here. God in Christ Jesus has reconciled us to the Father. Abraham's act of faith in Genesis chapter 15. Look at verse 6. We just read about it in Galatians. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. You go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now look at verse 7 of Galatians chapter 3. Verse 7 of Galatians chapter 3. Understand then that those who believe are the children of Israel. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And listen, this is unbelievable, folks. Listen to this. Here it is. Listen to this. And he announced the gospel in advance through Abraham.
What an exciting study in the book of Daniel. You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word, and we'll be back with the rest of today's message about his story, Daniel's story, in just a few minutes. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you that we're here for you. We're connecting right now online at tewonline.org. We'd love to be a part of your resource, a prayer resource. Love to pray with you, pray for you. You can connect keyboard to keyboard right there on our website, tewonline.org. Or if you're like many of us in these days, we type and text an awful lot. Sometimes it's good to have just a conversation, to have someone pray with you and help connect you with great resources here at The Encouraging Word that will help you grow in your faith. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Jot it down, store it in your cell. We'd love to be available for you. As a matter of fact, we are available for you 24 hours a day. We'd love to pray with and for you. Now back to today's message, the study of Daniel with Dr. Don Wilton.
It's very important that we make some of these connections tonight. It is very, very important. He announced the gospel in advance through Abraham. Listen to what the Bible says. All nations will be blessed through you. So in verse 9 of Galatians chapter 3, so those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now don't lose Galatians, but go back to the book of Genesis. You see, friends, what we are talking about here is we are talking about the confirmation of the seed of Abraham. Go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Listen to this. The promises, what promises? What promises are we talking about? Remember, we're trying to understand covenant. We're trying to understand prophecy. Step number one is we've got to understand covenant. What promises? Well, the Bible says in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 3, the promises which were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is the Christ. Now go to verse 29. Go to verse 29 of Galatians chapter 3. And look what happens in verse 29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to what? The promise. If you belong to Christ, you are a partner together in Abraham's seed. And the Word of God says that you and I are heirs. We inherit everything that God has done for His people through His covenant according to His promise. Now, what did God promise Abraham? Well, He promised him a number of things. We all know about a son. He promised him a son. Remember how hard he tried to get Isaac. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Not only did he promise him a son, but he promised him a land. A land. Folks, remember that Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldeans. And God called him out from Ur of the Chaldeans and said to him, I'm going to give you a land. And in chapter 12 and verse 4, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, because God said to him in verse 1 of chapter 12, I want you to get up and I want you to go unto a land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give you the promised land. So God promised Abraham a son through his seed. God promised him land. But third of all, God promised Abraham slavery. Can you imagine that? God promised Abraham slavery. Have a look with me at Genesis chapter 15 and verse 12. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 12. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own." What country was that, by the way? Egypt. Why did the children of Israel end up in a country not their own? Number one, because God said so. God's in control. But the reason God said so was that they sinned against God. This is prophecy, folks, by the way. You don't have to go to Daniel to read prophecy. The whole of God's book is prophetic utterance. It is the revelation of God about Jesus Christ into the hearts of mankind concerning our lives and our future. It contains within it the hope of eternal life. So look at verse 13. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. How long do we know that they were in Egypt? 400 years. How do we know that? Because the Bible says so. Now, folks, I'm not going to get into details, but I one time sat down on a panel to debate certain things concerning Scripture, and a very learned so-called theologian who had so many degrees behind his name that you couldn't recognize him, who came out of some of our Ivy League schools in the North that teach them nothing but hogwash and how to destroy the Word of God, try to debate over the fact as to whether or not the Israelites were in Egypt for 350 years or 500 years. I said to him, "Listen, brother, the Word says they're 400 years. That's good enough for me." Amen? It's what the Word says. May I submit to you and to myself as your pastor? Folks, there are many times that we need to go and ask God to help us, but let's not get stuck over things when the Word of God is just as plain as anything. Don't spend your whole life and ministry trying to search for hidden meanings and clues all over Scripture. Let God speak to you. And here's what He said in verse 14, "But I will punish the nation they serve." I will punish the nation they serve. I'm going to say to you folks, when we come to understand Scripture, the Arab nations have been placed in diametric opposition to the children of Israel. And I'm also going to say to you that I believe in the peace process and I support the peace process. And I believe that our mandate is to pursue the peace process. But I'm going to say to you folks, we can stand on our heads. We are never going to change the fact that God says in His Word, "I will punish the nation they serve as slaves. And afterward, they will come out," who? The children of Israel, "with great possessions." And then God goes on and He speaks to Abraham and He says to him in verse 17, "When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot appeared with a blazing torch, appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, 'To your descendants, I give this land.'" Come with me to 1948. You can take the children of Israel and scatter them across the sea. They are going to come back to their land. He outlines in detail the extent of that land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. And the Euphrates has deep and abiding significance concerning the doctrine of eschatology and last things. So what is this that God is giving? He gives to Abraham a son. He gives to Abraham a land. He gives to Abraham slavery. He gives to Abraham judgment according to chapter 15 and verse 14, even though we don't understand that. And perhaps what God is trying to say to us is what the writer to the Hebrews said to us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31. "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God."
What a powerful study in the book of Daniel here with Dr. Don Wilton. There's a great deal more to come. We'll continue in this study, but perhaps at this point, Dr. Don's triggered something, or more importantly, the power of the Holy Spirit through Dr. Don's preaching has triggered something where you realize there needs to be an adjustment. Would you like to have someone pray with you about that? 866-899-WORD will connect you with one of us 24 hours a day. Those numbers are 866-899-9673. And we'd love to speak with you, answer some questions, pray with you. Just know that we're here for you. And now before we get away, some of the most important thoughts from our pastor are next.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
Again, if the Lord has spoken to you through this time with Dr. Wilton, let us talk with you, pray with you, put some resources in your hands. Dr. Wilton has prepared unique resources for those of you that have given your heart to Jesus Christ or perhaps come back to the Lord. Let us put that in your hand today by calling us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at teworld.org. That's T-E-W for The Encouraging Word, online.org. We would love to connect with you. And also want to say thank you for the many of you that have launched 2020 with us as Becoming Encouragers.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
That number again is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at teworld.org. That's teworld.org. Remember, we're here for you 24 hours a day. And not only to connect resources into your hands, but just to pray for you. That's 866-899-9673. Till next time, take care and God bless.
Preacher Wilton, I just wanted you to know how my family life has changed. I gave my heart to God listening to you on the radio. Now my wife has a new husband, and my kids have a new dad. And I thank God for your ministry.
The